Welcome to Second Peaks, Paul.
Hi, Sasha. It's great to be with you.
Do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
I, over the last year or so, have finally learned to do some meditation. It's been hard. I think all of us in our busy lives find it hard to slow down our thought process enough to do that and just focus on something pleasant or whatever ritual or routine works for you. I've turned that corner, and I'm happy to say it's been very healthy and a good process for me.
What is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
Focus on the people. Law, like I think just about everything, is a people business. And the ones that matter most are your team. And I've been very fortunate to have a wonderful team working with me. And so that's where I put most of my attention is on them and serving them and meeting their needs and talking to them and seeing what we can do better. Obviously, in law, we have clients and we work with them, and we care deeply about getting them the best legal assistance and advice they can get. But really critically, that involves focusing on building the best team and supporting them and giving them the right tools and information. So it really is something that's worked well, is to focus on your organization first and foremost.
What's the most important decision you've made in your life?
As you know, I have co-authored a book in the last year, and that feels like, as I stand here today, the biggest decision I've made, because it's really been a life changer. And it's something that I hope and expect will lead to more books and maybe a career as an author. But it's also given me a new love for what I do and will continue to do in the legal world. Stepping away from it a little bit gave me a little bit of that breathing space. And now that I'm a little bit more full-time with it again, it's really been a wonderful experience. It's like a honeymoon of coming back to something you loved and remembering why you love it.
Paul, as a lawyer, what is the biggest misconception about you?
That we don't care. And I understand why oftentimes people feel that way, because the legal world can seem heartless and just driven by results. And for lots of good reasons, the people in the system, from judges to juries to the lawyers and everyone else who's helping, are really pressed for time, and they really want to get things done. And they know what really matters is making decisions. But there's a reason we call it a court hearing. It's you're supposed to be heard, and I understand that the biggest frustration, I see it every day, by the people who are supposed to be served by the legal system is they don't feel heard, and it's just because of the press of business by everyone involved, and it's something that I'd like to see both my firm and myself do better, and also I'd like to contribute some things to the overall legal world to make the legal system seem less deaf and more interested in hearing people.
Do you have any hidden talent? What are they?
Well, we all found ourselves with a little extra time on our hands over the last year and a half, and I wasn't able to go to my indoor gym like I was, so I took a stab at trying to learn tennis again. I'd failed at that before, and somehow, magically, it worked a little better this time. So I was outdoors, and over the last year or so, I've learned a little tennis, but nobody's invited me into the professional leagues out of this yet. So not sure how good I am, but it is nice. I think it's good for all of us to try something that is different from what we do in the rest of our lives.
When the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
Go with the heart every time. In fact, and I'm still working on this, because I still get tricked by my mind into acting on the things that it tells me. It's important. It really is important to do the mental math and think, and there's a reason that the rational world is important. But when it comes to decisions and actually acting on them, once you've done that, just set that aside and go with your heart, because it knows what's best. And there is a certain sense of intuition and that we all have, and it's really good to use that both in terms of listening intuitively and then acting on that. And that's I believe as a lawyer, that's what happens every time we're in court. The judge or jury is not making decisions cognitively, but from their heart. And in fact, the people who study this, it's brain science and the science of advocacy and psychology, absolutely say that's true. Everyone decides things based on things that they feel in their heart.
Paul, what is your favorite comfort food?
Well, partly because of the experiences with this book, it's s'mores, the gooey, delicious chocolate marshmallow graham cracker treat that we like to make a mess of at campfires. So there's a little backstory in our novel about that, but that's become my latest obsession, and that little extra bit of smoky, charcoal-y taste to it really, really makes it good for me.
Please finish this sentence. Writing is
fun, first and foremost, and none of us should do anything ever unless we think it's fun or some otherwise meaningful to us. But the things that are meaningful to us, in my opinion, should be fun. Things shouldn't feel hard, and we've all been there, and I know I still am. But when it feels hard, that's your own resistance to it. It's not the world never really puts up resistance. It's always something internal to us. And it's there for a reason, which is to tell you, you're doing this wrong. You're pushing too hard. You're trying too hard. And I think that's the spiritual underlying to everything that we do is it should be easy when we're aligned with what we really believe, and we should stay away from doing things that we don't believe in.
Very wise. Do you have any pet peeves?
Messiness. I don't like to see that in the world ever. And as an American, I like things clean and organized. As I mentioned to you in the earlier spot, I'm in Cairo today, and I just love it here. But I have noticed the drivers are a little adventurous, and I would even say a little messy, and then there's a lot of honking going on. So as much as I like it here and I love the Egyptian people, they're so warm and hospitable, I could do without some of the honking and the crazy driving.
You mentioned in your childhood you were a fan of mystery stories and novels. Do you have a favorite book?
Well, I loved Robinson Crusoe. It might not be considered a mystery, but it was very captivating to me because it's a gentleman who's on a deserted island and mysterious things happen. There's a somebody that washes up on the island named Friday, and it's all about, you know, what is the purpose of our life? What are we doing here? And building meaning when there isn't any, because if you're on a deserted island alone, there's just nothing there, except that you're trying to get off. And part of that story is about creating that meaning. And a lot of it had to do with others and the difference between being alone and being connected to other people and creating some value there.
Do you have a favorite hobby, and how did you get into it?
Well, I've always loved reading. So fitness and sports are certainly good. And it's important to do, and I enjoy that. But the thing that really sustains me, and it's nutrition for the mind, is reading books. And whether it's a good fiction novel, or I do a lot of nonfiction reading, especially for the research on the things that I'm working on. So that really feels exciting. And it's just amazing to me, the brilliant, wise things that people have said, both now and over the centuries, and so much you can learn from that. And I feel so fortunate that I grew up in a home where there were a lot of books around, and they almost fall off the shelf at you if you weren't careful. So we were always reading, and it's really been something that sustained me, and looking forward to the next novel.
Are there any initiatives you host or causes you support?
As I mentioned earlier in the earlier spot, I'm a co-author, and my co-author's name is Aliyah Sina. She is an Afghan-American. Her parents were born in Afghanistan and moved to the United States some decades ago. And she's, as I am now, because I understand this, very moved by the current Afghan refugee crisis. And so we're in our appearances relating to the book, we do encourage people to donate to the Red Cross or the Red Crescent or other organizations helping, because it is a really difficult situation. And I think not only can you help materially, but I think when people are having those difficulties, the idea that somebody is a stranger that you don't know is willing to donate and give from themselves means a lot too.
And Paul, what do you do and where can people contact you?
Well, I'm an attorney. The name of our law firm is Next Legal, N-E-X-T, Legal. So our website is nextlegal.law, L-A-W. And we have offices throughout the state of California and provide a range of services for individuals, families, small businesses. In my publishing side, our website is knightsofthelosttemple.com. So you can find information in both places.
Thank you for joining us at Encyclopedia.
Thank you so much, Sasha. It's really been a pleasure.